Hello, and I welcome you back to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business. We're located in Churchill on Highway 11W. We're in the Palace Shopping Center. And there we encourage you to come by, get your car washed, allow us to work, to earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry on the air. This business exists for the sole purpose of being able to preach and teach God's Word in a verse-by-verse format. And you can come by the Wash and Word and turn your radio to 107.1 FM, and these messages will play on a loop during open business hours. You don't have to get your car washed. You can just pull into the parking lot, tune to 107.1 FM, and you can hear these messages for the week playing in a loop over the airwaves as long as you remain in the parking lot. Anyway, that being said, we are a verse-by-verse Bible ministry, so we're going to get back into it. This teaching is it's been a difficult chapter so far. It's been a hard one to preach, and I just pray that the last few messages have gone forward with power. We left off yesterday, or in my last sermon, talking about God. You know, He's out there, and He's looking for those whose hearts are truly set towards Him, who are not going to waver in their faith, who are going to hold fast to every verse and every letter of God's Word, and, you know, not just walk around accepting the parts they like and, you know, ignoring the parts that they don't like. And you know, He had a lot of harsh words for these self-righteous Jews and these Pharisees. And many of them, you know, just didn't or couldn't accept his teaching. And we left off in verse 30 of chapter 8, where it said, even as He spoke, many put their faith in Him. And so the first 30 verses of chapter 8 have been really geared towards the unbelieving hard hearts. And even though Jesus spoke the truth, many did not listen to Him. Many even got more angry, but what happened? Some came to put their faith in Him. And this is an important concept to remember, because no matter how much we speak the truth in a society that is not accepting truth, and no matter how many will laugh at us or mock us or flat out persecute us because of that, you've got to remember there are always going to be some that get drawn, because when truth is being presented, people are drawn to it. And so Jesus kind of turns His attention now towards the believing Jews. And we see that because it flat out says in verse 31, we'll read that now, to the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, if, this is important, so listen, if you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm going to stop right there. We love to quote that verse, don't we? Ooh, the truth will set you free. Well, we often misquote that verse, because it isn't just the truth that will set you free. It's the knowledge of the truth that will set you free. And it isn't just the knowledge of the truth that will set you free, but it's the holding on to His teachings that bring the knowledge of the truth that set you free. And it isn't just the holding on to His teachings that bring the knowledge of truth that sets you free, but it's the holding on to His teachings that make you His disciples, that bring you the knowledge of the truth, and then the truth will set you free. The funny thing here is that Jesus doesn't just let them rest on their belief alone. You know, in verse 30, it says, many put their faith in Him. But Jesus didn't say, oh good, your faith is in Me, let me move along to the next city. No, He immediately pushes them. And He immediately pushes them to grow in their spirituality and their understanding of truth. In fact, He pushes them so much so that some will end up leaving. And you got to ask, why does He got to make us grow? Why can't we just be happy believing in Him? You know, why is God always trying to push us? You know, prior to this part of the scripture here, you know, Jesus had formed a line in the sand, as it were, with the claims of who He says He was. And there were only a few people who found themselves on the right side of that line. And even those who found themselves on the right side of the line, who had put their faith in Him, they were tested and they failed. What is the point? The point is this. Simple belief in Jesus is not enough. And that's sort of the theme of what we've been, what we're going to be starting to talk about here. Simple belief in Jesus is not enough. It's great. You know, you have to have belief in Christ. It's a great start, but it isn't the entirety of it. It's not enough for Jesus. It may be enough for you, but it's not enough for him. Belief is one thing, but acting upon that belief is quite another. James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God." Good. So believing in God is a good thing, James says. But even the demons believe that, but they shudder. They fear him. So belief needs to be attached to something. And I know there are a lot of you out there today who believe in Jesus. You have separated yourself from those who want nothing to do with him. But as Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, belief and obedience, well, they're two different things. Because you can believe and be disobedient. I believe that I should come to a complete stop at a stop sign. I mean, it makes sense. It's the right thing to do. And it's best for everyone's safety that I come to a complete stop at every stop sign. But do I do it? Of course I do. I'm a Bible teacher. Well, you know, nobody does all the time. And that's just the point that I'm trying to make here, is that it's one thing to know that you have to come to a complete stop, and it's another thing to do it. It's one thing to know and believe in Jesus, but it's another thing to grow in him. You know, Billy Sunday once said, just being in the garage, or just being in church on Sunday, doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in the garage makes you a car. You know, just believing in him, like some of these Jews did, and hey, credit to the Jews who you know, decided yes. Credit to them who took that step of faith and didn't walk away from the Lord. They're to be commended. But does that necessarily set you free? Because I know a lot of, air quotes, believers who are anything but free. Are they saved? Sure. You know, I believe that they're saved, but they're not free. They're not free to walk in the way that God had created them to walk. They are not free to serve in the way that God has already ordained them to serve, because they are still in bondage in some ways. They are still holding on to their own self-righteous attitudes and beliefs. They're still doing things the way they think they should be done. You see, it's one thing to believe God and to believe in Christ, but it's quite another to act upon that belief. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We must know. Salvation alone does not release someone from the bondage of sin. It releases them from the penalty of sin. Uh-oh, what? Let me say that again. Salvation does not release someone from bondage of sin. It releases them from the penalty of sin. So you can be a believer, and the penalty for your sin has been laid upon the finished work of Christ at the cross, but you could still be in bondage of sin. In other words, it is not the truth that sets you free, but it is knowing the truth. And to know the truth is to know Jesus, and to know Jesus is to love him. And to love him is to know him. Do you understand? Do you see what Jesus is trying to do in your life and in mine? He's saying, great, you believe in me, and that's a great start. But hey, get to know me. Get to know my word. This part or this part, you ask? All of it, he says. Listen, guilt and condemnation are bondage, brothers. We are evil people. We have a sinful, fallen nature. We are sinners. And we have done things, and maybe we still do things, that are shameful. And we are saved, we are forgiven, and we are made clean of our sins, but we are still in bondage. And for that person or those people who are in that bondage today, you need to know one thing. God loves you. He loves you. And so get to know him. And for the Jew in the text, they did not need to know that because they already did. In fact, they knew it so well that it was their bondage. They suffered from religious bondage. They were so self-righteous. We are God's very own people. We don't need this, that, or the other thing. And so bondage is what keeps you from knowing the truth, and not knowing the truth keeps you from being free. In verse 33, let's take a look at that. It says, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" You see that? That religious bondage that they were in? First of all, they were wrong. Because since the time of Abraham and the covenant God made with Abraham, they, as Jews, as a nation, as a people, were enslaved several times. But Jesus isn't referring to a physical slavery here, but rather to that slavery which mastered them. In 2 Peter 2:19, he says, "For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him." And sin may have been an issue for them, but Jesus is dealing with their religiosity. And for you, sin may be an issue for you, but Jesus is dealing today in this scripture, today in your life, he's dealing with the difference between belief and freedom, because it isn't enough just to believe. Again, we are saved from our sin, but only true obedience sets us free. In the time that we have left, let's start talking about an ugly word. That ugly word is sin. You don't hear it a whole lot in the churches these days. And I know it's not a favorite topic for everybody, but it's in God's word. And so as we continue reading it, we're going to see. Jesus replied in verse 34, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let's stop right there before we continue on. To be a slave to sin is easy. Do you know how to do it? Just keep sinning. And that defines some of you out there, doesn't it? Defines me in some ways. Jesus says that a sinner has no place in the kingdom, and a sinner is a slave to that sin. And a slave in that time was not an heir. Only the son was an heir. So logic says that when you sin, you have no place in God. You have no heir in the things of God. Logic says that sin will remove your eternal salvation. But logic is stupid. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to the Lord. But let me say that sin is a grievous thing to God. It is a grievous thing for the Lord to witness, and it causes so much pain in our lives and in those around us that it affects. It causes so much heartache and disease and trouble and death, mainly the death of the Son of God. And so I will not downplay sin. And I will not say that you are going to be saved even if you go on sinning, because that would make me a liar. But it would also make me a liar if I said that sin will cause you to lose your salvation. The Son has set you free, and you are free indeed. Romans 6:18 says, "You have been set free from sin, and you have become slaves now to righteousness." So stop sinning, people. And if you're still sinning, listen, you can set yourself free from the bondage of sinning. And then you will be free indeed. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how to get out of that bondage. Because I know there are a lot of us out there who have been stuck in the sin and the bondage of, and we've been a slave for far too long. So join me tomorrow as we take a look at that. And until then, we invite you to come to the Wash and Word and get your car washed by hand, or go to the website washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all the information about this business and view our archived messages. Have a blessed day.